Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father.
I, a poor and miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Your lightnings lighted up the world, the earth trembled and shook.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, my soul longs.
O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all of the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured from your lips.
The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen.
the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Peter witnessed the glorious transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ. He, along with St. James and St. John, saw Jesus in his majesty, his face shining like the sun and his clothes becoming white as light. He also saw Moses and Elijah talking with his transfigured Lord. It was a marvelous sight, unlike anything else ever witnessed by mortal man. It is no surprise, then, that St. Peter acknowledges that it is good to be there on that holy mountain, and that it would also be a good idea to stay there. But notice that he doesn't even make provisions for him and his fellow disciples. He'll make three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But where will they stay? Doesn't matter. It's good to be there. And all St. Peter can think of is having Jesus, Moses, and Elijah dwell there on that mountain among them forever. He is overcome by it all. Can you blame him? Wouldn't you be? But here is the truly marvelous thing to ponder today, dear friends, as we celebrate our Lord's transfiguration. When St. Peter writes about this later, as we heard in the epistle, he says that we have something more sure than the majestic glory of Jesus he, James, and John witnessed on that mountain. Something more marvelous, something more certain, something more reliable, to which we would do well to pay attention. What is it? The prophetic word. Holy Scripture. The Bible. Think about that for a moment. Let it sink in a bit. St. Peter witnesses our Lord Jesus in all his glory. The veil is torn away so that he and James and John can see Jesus for who he truly is. They can see into heaven where Moses and Elijah are, and Jesus is with them talking. He sees the bright cloud overshadowing them and hears the voice from the cloud. He witnesses this miraculous and majestic and fearful sight on the Mount of Transfiguration, and yet he considers Holy Scripture to be more sure than all of that. It's an amazing statement. But I imagine our Lord Jesus Christ would say to us today, "This is my beloved apostle, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." He would say that because what St. Peter says, remarkable as it is true. We have the Holy Scriptures, the very word and revelation of God to us, recorded for us on the pages of the Holy Bible. And there is nothing more sure than this. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Seasons change, generations come and go, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Moth and rust destroy. Everything is vanity. Nothing in this dead and dying world is ever certain, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Dear friends, the Holy Bible is unlike any other book known to man. It is not a mere historical document that contains words about God, but it is the very word of God. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Holy Scripture is the Holy Spirit-inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Everything recorded in it is absolutely true. There are no errors, no contradictions, no myths or fantasies found on its pages, despite all attempts by mortal man to prove otherwise. And we don't get to pick and choose which parts of the Bible we like and want to keep. and which parts we're not thrilled about and want to discard, as so many are wont to do these days. It matters not that the times change and opinions vary and cultures like ours begin to accept things as normal and good that God himself forbids in his word. What God has written, he has written. His word is true and certain regardless of all other attempts to prove otherwise. This past week, a man named Dr. Marcus Borg died. Probably none of you even know that name. But he was a leading liberal theologian and supposed expert on the historical Jesus. He was a fellow of the Jesus Seminar, which made a lot of noise back in the 1980s and 1990s. Maybe some of you remember that, maybe not. The Jesus Seminar was a group of liberal theologians whose sole purpose was to try to cut through all the supposed mythical content of the Bible and get to the historical facts. They were in search of the historical Jesus, rather than the so-called Jesus of faith. And their procedures were absolutely amazing. They would get together and cast votes on whether or not Jesus actually said or did the things Scripture records him saying and doing. And the reason these guys made so much noise back then was because of their peculiar voting method, which involved colored beads. These beads would determine what the members of the seminar believed. Red beads indicated that the voter believed that Jesus did say or do the thing. Pink beads indicated that the voter believed Jesus probably did or said the thing. Gray beads indicated that the voter believed that Jesus didn't actually say or do the thing, but it does contain something he might have said or done. It's his ideas. And then black beads indicated that the voter believed Jesus didn't actually do or say the thing, but that it was something made up by his followers later on. I'm not making any of that up. This is how things went for these scholars, these theologians. They sat around a table and cast colored beads to determine which parts of the Bible were fantasy and which parts were true. And they called themselves, and the whole world called them, theologians and scholars. It is these kinds of theologians and scholars that you still find on the History, Discovery, National Geographic, and other channels whenever there is something being aired about the Bible or Jesus or Christianity. These are the guys the unbelieving culture embraces, since they turn the Bible into the fantasy book so many people believe it to be. They do not believe, teach, and confess Scripture as the Word of God. They do not believe, teach, and confess Jesus as the eternal Word of the Father and Son of God incarnate in our flesh to save us. Instead, they confess, believe, and teach that the Bible is filled with fairy tales and Jesus was just a man that his followers turned into a god. Those are the supposed expert theologians you hear telling you all you ever need to know about Christianity on TV. Which is why I always tell people that you'd be better off watching paint dry on a wall than watching those programs. I read the Christmas sermon this Dr. Borg, who died this week, preached last month. Amazing stuff. He was an Episcopalian, and what those gathered in the congregation where he preached heard on Christmas Day was that the whole Christmas story was fictional. Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. Angels did not announce his birth. Really, angels? Come on. Wise men didn't follow a star. All of it, all of the stuff, the whole account was made up. But the message that underlies it all is true. And what is that message? That God desires peace on earth. And we can have that peace as soon as we let go of all the myths about Jesus and see him for who he truly is, or was, a good man who taught us to love and accept people no matter what they are, what they believe, or what they do, and so forth. What guys like this fail to realize is that if what they say is true, there is no salvation. We are stuck in our sins without rescue. There is no perfect life lived in our place by God in our flesh. There is no sacrificial death for our sins on the cross. There is no resurrection and no ascension into heaven to pave our way into eternal life. If it is all myth, then so is our salvation nothing but a myth. Thankfully, we have the testimony of St. Peter and the other apostles, who actually walked with Jesus and talked with him and learned from him and beheld him for who he is. Listen to them. They speak the truth. They beheld the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. They witnessed him crucified on a cross and dead. They saw him alive again in his resurrected flesh, touched him, and ate and drank with them. They witnessed him ascend into heaven on the 40th day of his resurrection, and, most interesting, they spent the rest of their lives preaching Christ crucified and resurrected for all sinners, right up to the point that they were martyred and put to death for preaching the name of Jesus and the salvation that comes only through him. Doesn't seem like they thought it was all myth to me. We have something more certain than the glorious transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the prophetic and apostolic testimony of those who walked and talked with him, who beheld his glory, and who knew who he is, and who died for that confession. We have the Holy Scriptures. Listen to them. For these are the scriptures that testify of Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, that's what the Bible is all about. Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes only through him. The reason people don't know the Bible is because they don't know how to read the Bible. They don't read it Christologically, that it is all about our salvation in Christ. These are the scriptures which reveal the holy law of God to us, showing us our sin so that we are led by the Holy Spirit into repentance. These are the scriptures which reveal to us the holy gospel of Jesus and show us our Savior so that we are led to cling to him alone in faith. These are the scriptures which make certain that when we are gathered together like we are this morning in the name of Jesus for divine service, he is in our midst to deliver to us the salvation he won for us. Treasure these holy scriptures, my friends. There is nothing more certain. To the extent that you have not treasured the Word of God in the Holy Bible by reading, marking, learning, and inwardly digesting it, repent. How will you take heed to stand fast in a world so diametrically opposed to Scripture if you do not know what it is? How will you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ if you will not be taught his word? How will you test the spirits to determine whether they are from God or the devil if you do not study the Scriptures? It is no coincidence that Christianity is dying a slow death in our own country when 40% of those claiming to be Christian never actually attend church, and less than 10% attend Bible study on a regular basis. We have lost our way. We have forgotten that the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We have forgotten the great treasure that Holy Scripture is for us. Repent. We have something more sure. The prophetic and apostolic Word, which assures us that we have something before us that is even greater and more glorious than the awesome sight witnessed on the holy mountain by Saints Peter, James, and John. We have Jesus in his holy word and sacraments, the very means of grace by which he creates and sustains faith in us, the very means of grace by which he gives to us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Thus, we confess with the psalmist, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise." It is good to be here, dear friends in Christ, for here is the dwelling place of our Lord. Here is the courts of our Lord. Here is his holy house. Here is his holy mountain where we behold the glory of our Lord as we partake of his very body and blood in the supper. This is no myth or fairy tale, for we have the sure and certain word of God that assures us that this is true. It is the Father's beloved Son with whom he is well pleased, who says to you this day, on this holy mountain, in this solemn assembly, "Take, eat, take, drink. This is my body and blood given to you for the forgiveness of your sins." Listen to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Church, that as she gathers together around the Holy Word and sacraments, she may faithfully listen to Jesus and receive his well-pleasing sacrifice on Calvary's cross, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the baptized believers in Christ, that they would hunger and thirst for righteousness and receive faithfully the gifts of the cross through the sacraments, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mentally ill, that they may receive skilled care and proper treatment of their disease, and that they may be surrounded by those who understand and support them, even as the devil world and flesh attack their minds, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pastors and church workers who struggle with depression, that they would be cared for by the church. May they receive the necessary support and care, that the work of the gospel may continue in the congregations of Christ Church, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the lonely, that they would find community and family in the Church of God, and experience the comfort of being part of the communion of saints gathered around our Savior, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For families, that parents would teach the faith to their children, and that the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in all Christian households. We ask also that all mothers with child would be kept safe and receive a happy result in their childbearing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, that according to God's will, they may be brought to a full restoration of health or given grace to accept their affliction. Remembering especially those who have requested our prayers, including Joan Birch, Bill Harmon, Marlene Wilshire, Maxine Isaacson, Lisa Messer, Marlene Miller, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cull, Tyler Duvall, Phil Warsop, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Shaw, Pastor Dan Chambers, Rosemary Reichart, Sally Messer, Michelle Johnson, Matt Boffman, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Sohn, Cameron Snell, David Gursky, Jack Standen, Jane Tennant, John Lemmerman, and Betty Guder. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that they may come to trust Christ's words that whoever believes in him, even though he dies, yet shall he live. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Scriptures, which are more sure than anything else this side of heaven, let us give thanks to God, that we would read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest what he has revealed to us in them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember this day the glorious manifestation of your Son's divinity on the Mount of Transfiguration. Teach us to listen to Jesus and ever fix our eyes on him and his innocent suffering and death for our forgiveness, especially as he reveals and delivers himself to us in the Holy Eucharist of his very body and blood. By your grace, mercy, and strength, strengthen us to remain faithful in all circumstances of trial, temptation, and persecution. Preserve us to the end, that we may die a blessed death, believing in your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
very blood of Christ shed for you. The very body of Christ given 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 for you.
Thank you.
this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Countenance upon you and give you peace.